Hi, I'm Katie Page.
And I'm Paul Ashton.
And we made a comedy feature film called This Isn't Funny that Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro helped us produce.
Along with us, it stars Anthony LaPaglia, Eddie Gathegi, Mimi Rogers, David Pasquese, Gia Carides, and Danielle Panabaker.
And it features some hilarious stand-up comedy from Beth Stelling, Ahmed Barucha, Will Weldon,
and Katie. And you can stream the film right now in the U.S. store of iTunes, on Google Play, and at Amazon.
And if you like it, please tell your friends, share it, and rate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network and producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and Phil Svitek, this is I Talk Movies. Long-form interviews with leading members of the film industry. And now, your host of I Talk Movies.
Welcome, everybody, to I Talk Movies. There we are. Welcome, everybody, to I Talk Movies. I am Cameron Lewis. Very special show for you this evening. First, if anybody can guess the song that's playing right now.
We'd like to know.
You win something.
We'd like to know who it is.
You win something. Joining me, the very special Ben Bagley, Renee Dorian.
Hi, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about the Funhouse Massacre. So if you guys have any questions, let us know. Tweet us at The Only Camshaft, at The Popcorn Talk. So I'm excited to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
I'm a bit on edge.
Why are you on
about
edge?
The film.
Are you not a horror film fan?
I love horror films, but I just went to haunted houses like 2 weeks
okay.
ago.
Yeah. Did you read that article? That
came out? The fake article.
There was a hoax article that came out that said that someone was murdering
it was
a fun
very,
house in Texas.
It was very
and we
graphically
were in
detailed.
Line at the fun at a fun house up in Reign of Terror. Sorry, I totally interrupted you already.
The story was so graphically written. They were like, we went through and we saw a guy getting his tendons gnawed out, and then we realized it was real.
And I had a
conceal and carry, so I shot him. In the
and
leg.
We're reading this while we're in line.
We totally went.
Oh my god!
Everyone I know believed it was real, and then the next day it came out that it was a Halloween prank,
yes.
And we were all
god.
Like,
"So whew,
that's not funny."
No, it's not.
When we're in line for a haunted house, and we're
no.
like,
after making a movie, kind of exactly like that.
I went to the Universal Studios, the Halloween Horror Nights thing, and I'm literally going there with a friend. We go to six haunted houses there. Mm-hmm. They have them all, whatever.
Right.
We're waiting in line for the Walking Dead one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's the people with the fake chainsaws coming
Terminus.
Around and stuff. And we're sitting there, and my friend goes, well, what if a crazy person who actually wanted to harm people got a job at Universal Studios?
Yeah.
And just decided to go nuts.
Because, you know, there's not... I don't know what the background check is for that.
And I'm right. sure with Universal they have to do.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't say it's probably
sure.
super easy.
I mean, but they don't do that great of a background check on, like, people who are in high government positions sometimes, let alone Universal
That's
Studios,
true.
Where they have a chainsaw. But Renee
and I... We
actually
had that same question when we were at Hollywood Horror Nights. Because there's... Especially at Universal, it's like, they go all out.
Yep.
And if you haven't been to that, like, go spend your money. It's totally worth it.
Massive.
That's where the idea came from a couple of years ago. We were walking through a maze and some guy was getting sawed on and there were like guts were hanging out and he was screaming and something sprayed on us and it was just water, but we were like, what if this is real and he's really being murdered? And we're like, that's hilarious. And then we're like,
oh my
brilliant
God.
Idea. Let's write that.
That's fascinating.
And so that was where it kind of snowballed from there.
And then we also wanted to add how in this day and age, everyone is just glued. I mean, look, we all have our cell phones right now on our table.
In case
we need it.
In case they call.
In case that person calls us.
In case the days of our lives after show
you
when
know,
we
like,
call.
Crazy things happen nowadays, and you're walking down the street, and someone could be getting robbed, and you're like, oh, man, what are you having for lunch? Okay, I could probably pick
we're
that
all
up
looking
for lunch.
Through our
and you don't even
screen.
Notice that someone's getting robbed right next to
right.
you. And so we were like, we need to add that element into being
there's
in
like,
a horror house.
There's like moments
that's
where
what would happen.
There's like moments where a guy gets hit with a wrench in the back of the head and is bleeding out and the girl's like, I'm totally Instagramming this, and they do a selfie with them and somebody else later is vining. You know, we didn't want it to be super like hitting you over the head, but they do it occasionally. Mm-hmm. And there's one character named Brian the Texter.
Which
I don't want to ruin anything about him.
We have to give my sister and my
brother. I think I went to high school with Brian
the Texter. He just he pops if you
he
look
pops.
For him. There's a guy named Brian the Texter that we'd never name him, but he's a dude that pops up throughout the movie texting in the craziest moments.
My sister and my brother-in-law gave us that idea after we had written the script. They were like, well, because we were telling them how...
Don't give away the ending.
Okay, I'm not going to. But they were telling us, like, well, you guys should just have... Like, you have this kind of throughout the whole script, but you should have one specific person that never looks up. That's constantly on the phone. Because there is always that person that you are like, hey, we're at dinner. Yeah. Get the fuck off your phone. Sorry.
Yeah. It's cool.
Swear?
So, yeah, whatever. I don't know.
But so we added Brian.
Leave it to my wife to swear first. The Italian.
Now
Italian
that the gates
fire.
Are open,
sorry.
It's going to go
Let's
insane
all
in here.
Let's just say it, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he walks around the entire film, and we won't give anything away, but it's a really fun character because I feel like you'll notice him the first time in the movie, but it may be the second time you see the movie that you're like, oh, this guy is actually a character and not just a background actor. He's specific to the film.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Brian the Dexter.
Little stuff.
I'm going to say
Do you guys know, for everybody at home, we're going to play a teaser in just a second.
Yes.
But first, I have to ask another question about Brian the Dexter. Did you guys know a Brian that you based this character off of?
Actually,
or was it just the idea of people?
We needed a name. We had a lot of names used because we have a lot of characters in this film.
Yeah, we wanted him to be Dave because Dave was our brother-in-law that gave us the idea. But then
we already had a Dave.
We had a Dave with Bob and Dave
for the
DJs, the radio DJs. So we were like,
okay, what name?
Brian?
Maybe was it because of your brother-in-law? Did we switch brother-in-laws?
Sure,
and
let's
say,
do that.
I don't know.
Let's say that.
We'll give him. It was for Brian.
That sounds like
a
fascinating
the other brother-in-law.
Story. We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Yeah.
No specific.
He's at home going, it was me? Oh my God.
That's so great.
Yeah, we totally thought
it. Yeah, that was it. That was it.
All right, everybody, why don't we go ahead and play a quick teaser for you. This is from the Funhouse Massacre. Take a look.
Looks so real.
Do you know what's happening out there?
You mean the deranged serial killers who are pretending to be haunted house characters and killing everybody?
Ah, there is so much more blood than I expected.
These monsters, even God is afraid of.
You'll never play the test your strength game again after our movie.
I know.
Not after Mars has done it.
Yeah. I love how high energy that is.
It is.
Yeah, the goal when writing it was just to... We set out originally just to write something that we would want to see and that we thought was fun. We had no idea if it was ever going to go anywhere at the time. We were just like, let's just do something. Because we had done web series before together and short films and a bunch of sketches. And we were like, let's write a feature and just write something and see what happens. And that was always the goal, was just to make kind of this crazy fun ride that's a throwback to our favorite slashers of the 80s and 90s, where it wasn't... Because right now, horror films are all very focused on ghosts and zombies and kind of like the torture porn stuff like Saw and Hostel, which is kind of... It's kind of died out. But we like all that kind of stuff for different reasons.
Exactly.
But we love, above all,
we
both
love going
of us,
to a movie and
movies.
Like having that with the audience where you're like, they just killed
the
that person. It's just such an energy.
Yeah,
there's
the
nothing
energy
like
behind
it. And you don't
films.
Get that when you go into The Conjuring. You're like, holy shit, I'm
terrified
right now.
I agree. That's why I'm excited for this one, because I want the audience experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's the where you're grossed out at one moment, you're laughing the next, you're cheering the next, you're grossed out again, you're a little freaked out. It's that fun balance that I think Wes Craven really nailed with Scream and the Nightmare on Elm Street series and all that. And I think that's kind of what we were just trying to make a little homage to our favorite things. And then also adding in a dash of real villains like Manson and Dahmer, but then comic book villains too, because as we've talked about before, real killers get real creepy very quick.
It's not dinner talk.
Yeah.
And we tried that at lunch, actually. We were like, okay, we need to do some work. Let's start looking up some psychos.
We started researching real serial killers.
During lunch, it's like the worst idea to do that. It's like, oh God, they're showing pictures. Okay, you know what? Let's table this for lunch, and then we'll go back to it.
It's all like not... It's all pretty much the same creepy stuff that they do.
It's very,
involving dead bodies. And you're like,
well, that's the thing. When I go and see a movie like this, I don't want to go into the theater and go, hey, when I walk out, this might happen to me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And while, you know, there's still potential for
this
to happen, the likelihood of it happening is not very high, which is comforting.
And you can tell it's very light. I mean, even though it is a horror, it's light in the sense of you're laughing so much that you're not like, oh my God, like
they
got real with this. You know, you don't have that feeling when you're watching
this. My mom even watched it and she can't do any of that stuff.
I mean,
one of the most ridiculous / awesome moments for me is Rocco, the way he gets his mask, spoiler alert, I guess I'll tell you.
Spoiler alert.
He rips off a guy's face with his bare hand and then he's wearing it the rest of the movie like a leather face clown. So that clown mask you see right there in the poster.
This one.
is another man's face.
That's another guy's face.
Yeah. In the whole movie. And so it's like that level
Do you see in the movie that he pulls it off
his
face?
Yeah. You see it peel off of his face.
Of course.
And then the guy's like holding on to his muscle, gooey
tendons.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, I was like, did it gross you out? She's like, no, I'm a nurse, and I know it doesn't look like that in real life.
Yeah, she's like, I know what it really looks like.
How many of these instances have you been in, Mom?
I know. How many faceless men have you seen coming to the hospital?
That's another horror film.
Yeah.
Debbie the nurse.
Just the ER room.
I would see Debbie the nurse.
Debbie the nurse. Yeah. But it's that kind of thing where it's like that kind of level of violence where it's...
It's so far-fetched.
Yeah, it's just over the top enough that you're like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
This isn't like...
When you're rooting for the bad guy, you don't feel like, oh, this is like they're touching on things that have happened recently. We didn't want it to feel like that.
It's like there's this great horror film we saw, Wolf Creek, but it's and when you watch that, you're uncomfortable the whole time because you're like, this could really happen. This guy is sadistic. He's like doing real life things.
We paused it halfway through and we're like,
I almost was
should
like,
we do this? Can we finish this movie? Can we?
I kind of am with I watched the first episode of the first season of American Horror Story.
Yep.
And I couldn't watch anymore.
And it was like, it was the same. I was like, oh.
That first season,
I know we'd really love it if we really got into it, but it was hard.
It's very hard to watch.
I hear, we haven't watched more. We need to, because we just have so many shows we watch. But I hear season two and on get really a lot better. The first season for me, it just made me feel uncomfortable more than, like, in a weird psychosexual way instead of creepy. Mm-hmm. I just felt, or scary. It just felt like, ugh.
I felt like I needed to run somewhere. I don't know where. But
I don't like leaving something feeling like I have to shower afterwards.
No.
Like, I've been slimed by the
entertainment. That's not enjoyable. That is not how our film is. That's not how we wanted it.
No.
We wanted it to be fun.
Yes.
Just to say again, everybody at home, you guys wrote the movie together, and you talked a little bit about where the inspiration came from, but I'm curious, what is the writing process like for a movie like this? Where do you start? Do you start with characters and their relationship to each other, or do you go, hey, this is the situation, here are some of the scenes we want to see, and we'll kind of fill in the rest? What is that like?
I think we definitely started with the villains.
The villains were our main focus. Because we had six villains.
We had a lot of villains, and so we were like, okay, so we have these villains. Now, who are the good guys? And, I mean, we had a lot
We should tell the villains, though. We should describe each one to give people a little tease.
There's Dollface.
Yeah, you can.
She's kind of the Harley Quinn. And that was the thing, is that you don't see a lot of female bad girls.
Yeah.
And so we definitely wanted that in this. And we were like, okay, we've got a lot of guy killers these days. Let's add a female in there that can be kind of creepy on her own.
And
so that was actually our first one.
That was our first one
that we thought of.
And then we always liked this idea of this ex-pro wrestler, kind of like a Jason Voorhees meets Doink the Clown meets Bane from Batman, and that's where Rocco came from, where it's like this, the legend behind him is that he all these, we should start off by saying all these killers, the premise behind it is that we always thought, like, it's weird that there's only a couple serial killers a decade or every 30 years. Like, there's only a Dahmer and a Bundy. But there's, like, long stretches of time in between these people.
Yeah.
And so we felt like, what if there's this secret cover-up? Yeah.
When
there's,
we're looking like, up people, I'm like, I have never heard of this crazy person. Or, like, you never knew about Elizabeth Bathory. If you look up
Bathed in her own serpent's blood.
She is the creepiest, and she was a queen.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy what she did to people. And so you start
making
to, like,
Cameron
grossest
so
thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, we're making cameras.
You start
she thought,
to, like, learn about these people. You're like, why didn't you hear about this person in history? This person's crazy. I mean, that's probably, that would be bad in history class.
But back to
I digress. Sorry.
Either way.
So, but the idea was that these serial killers, what if there were these serial killers that go into the, that are
too
gruesome,
bad.
Too bad to be in the news, and that the government tries to cover up and lock away in this Supermax kind of asylum, like an Arkham asylum in the middle of nowhere. And so that's where the idea came from. And Rocco was this wrestling guy who was this underground wrestling legend who had killed one too many opponents in the ring. And in the beginning, he punches a guy and his jaw flies off and it lands in a woman's lap in the crowd and she's screaming. So it's ridiculous stuff like that. But explain maybe the dentist or somebody.
Well, we have Dr. Suave and he's our dentist. And so
there's a dentist villain.
Oh yeah.
Ted Bundy was definitely our inspiration.
Because he's super. Sebastian Siegel is a perfect man.
Yes.
He made me feel terrible about myself.
And we have a great story with him. But when we were thinking about, you know, different
archetypes.
And careers, though. Like, what's a creepy career that someone could
dentist.
Have? dentist.
Oh,
everyone
definitely.
Hates the. I don't hate the dentist, but a lot of people hate the dentist.
Every time
I love the dentist.
Well, it's because they have these sharp objects, and you're in such a vulnerable position where at any moment, if it's like, oh well, we're gonna gas you now, and then stab you in the face.
It's scary though. Like when you're getting gas, you're like you kind of have like a fog, and you don't know. And I remember really vividly right before I fell asleep when I got I think it was my wisdom teeth.
Yeah,
and they're giving me the laughing gas. He was like, oh, that feels good, doesn't it? And I was like...
his voice is like...
And then you just go out, you know? It's like, what's going to happen next? I'm all passed out. I have no idea.
These are the worst people. No offense, dentists, but I mean...
Yeah, they are. It's a creepy thing. So we wanted to really play on how people have that fear. Yeah. And we were like, okay, let's put a dentist in the movie. That'll be fine.
I think it's brilliant.
His opening scene is there's somebody strapped down and their mouth is like Clockwork Orange open. And he goes... We'll get rid of that cavity, don't worry. And then he starts drilling with the drill you see in the poster, and it pops through the back of his head, and then he shines the light through the hole. It's ridiculous. I don't want to ruin all the villains. I don't want to spoil
really
all the villains.
You're not going to
Can
order
I just
the
say I'm getting
that?
A filling in like 2 weeks?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
And
sorry
this
that.
Is going to happen to me now.
Now you're
is he a really good-looking dentist?
No.
Okay.
Well, he's one of these guys. I mean, this is why it's such a perfect villain, because he's one of these guys that... As you're sitting there, helpless, and he has your mouth strapped open, he not only has sharp objects, but he's also secretly making you feel really bad about yourself. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this cap. Oh, you could probably lose 15 pounds.
Yeah, you have a lot of plaque buildup. Yeah. You should, do you floss?
Do you floss? When's the last time you went on a date?
Smells like a dumpster in here.
Yeah. And you're just sitting there taking it.
You know when you haven't flossed in a while and you're like, oh, God.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
No, just,
anyways,
I wouldn't.
That got disgusting.
So we have the dentist.
So we have the dentist, yeah.
We have,
the chef.
Animal the Cannibal. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Ramsey was his real name, but he affectionately is called Animal the Cannibal in the No Man's Land, which is what the Supermax prison is based on, is called, is the nickname for it that Robert Englund's character gives it. Which No Man's Land was actually a nerd reference for me when Batman got his back broken by Bane, and there was a comic run called No Man's Land where all the villains took over. Until Azazel, I think, was the guy's name. The blonde Batman came to power. And anyways.
It was Azrael.
Azrael. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I'm like,
so that was
that's what I was going to say. For the record, that's what I was going to say.
So there's all these little nerdy DC comic Easter eggs that people either find
that's
or
cool.
make.
Mm-hmm.
But the animal, the joke with him is that he was a famous chef in New York for a restaurant chain, and he was serving people. And Charlton Heston was one of his... top clients, although I think that line got cut.
Oh, damn.
Because it was like, it's people. I think it got cut for pacing, but I love that line.
Soylent Green is my favorite.
Yeah. And then there's the taxidermist. Mm-hmm. Going to take him?
I mean...
Oh, sure. Okay.
The taxidermist.
Howard plays him.
Yeah. I mean, Clint for Howard's him, awesome. It was just, you know, we wanted someone who likes to stuff bodies, because there's always in film, there's always that person, you know, like Psycho.
He was kind of our Norman Bates guy.
Yeah, he was our Norman Bates. So he's keeping bodies, but this time he's stuffing them and putting them into, like, you know, like he says, the Heisman.
I think I'll put you in the Heisman pose.
Yeah.
Clint Howard's awesome, by the way. He has, I just wish we had him in more of the movie because he's so good.
When you watch him, you just don't want him
he's
to leave the
so,
scene.
Like, the
he
second
has these little moments, but he really.
Yeah.
He's really strong.
All the villains, and then Jerry Burns is the leader of the pack.
And he's like our He's like our Charles Manson, basically.
Yeah, okay,
we
had
to have that one person who's, you know, got this idea.
But he's a lot. He plays it a lot more restrained, which
yes,
I like.
Absolutely.
We wrote him a little bit more batshit and all over the place, and Jerry Burns brings this great gravitas to it, where like you're watching him and you find him so charming, but you're like, this guy's insane, and he's so good. You buy into every moment of his, and it's great. And then Robert Englund plays the warden of all these.
He's not
sites.
A bad guy.
No, he's
Robert Englund is a good guy.
And he's a good guy in our movie.
And he's a really nice guy, too.
Super
Freddy
nice.
Krueger is a really nice guy, so he may not invade your dreams. And if he does, he may just come and tell you a good story.
He's telling you a lot of stories about good restaurants to go to in Glendale.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Freddy Krueger is talking about Glendale.
He gives you great restaurant recommendations. He's awesome.
Oh, my word. So what do you think, then, makes a good villain? Is there a checklist for these people?
I think so. I think that it's a combination of, like you were saying, real-life fears, like the dentist or things like that, but also with... a hint of a flair behind their personality. So each one has a very distinctive personality.
Well, they're all specifically, like we said, we looked up bad guys to do this. So they have those traits.
It's like a potpourri of
but they also,
different bad guys.
For us, like, we love Michael Myers, you know, when he's doing the slow walk, and it's like, no, you can never get away. So we wanted to add that element, so we have that throughout as well.
With Rocco.
With Rocco. Know, it's like, it doesn't matter how fast you run, they're still going to come and get you.
Yeah. And I think that, I think it's just about having these characters that are really colorful and fun to watch, and not just one note, that they have... It's
for there's
me,
reasons it's, behind
yeah, and for me it's the Freddy Krueger, the Freddy Krueger archetype, where it's like with Freddy Krueger you watched him and you're so entertained by him and so scared by him, and I think that that's what makes a good villain, when you're rooting for them in some kind of sick way, but at the same time going, I hope they win, but I also hope they get killed really gruesomely. You know, it's just to have fun with them, to make them really fun and layered and not just throwaways.
Which I think makes sense. Because if you typically, or if you just specifically hate a person, then that's not enough.
No.
Because there's no difference just watching the news or something at that
point. Right, exactly.
Reading
that's pretty depressing.
The papers or whatever.
Exactly.
That's interesting. I'm curious now how, in the movie making process these days, 2015... there's a million ways to distribute a film.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you set yourselves apart? How do you maintain the relevancy? How is this done? I'm very curious.
You
because
mean how did we
so
get
many,
how did we get it sold and made?
Well, how do you get sold? Yeah, but how do you sit among with the rest? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, to get the movie made was very serendipitous.
Yeah.
It was very one of those Ben and I were like, we have to get it done. We have to finish the script. We've got to get it ready. We just got to get it out there.
We had a rough draft before we got married.
And then we got married.
And then we had a rough draft in May of last year. Draft one was finished in May, like May 15th. And then her bachelorette party,
bridal
all this
showers,
planning, and then we got married in August.
Right.
And our lives were crazy.
And then September was our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And so on our honeymoon, we were like, we need to finish this. We need to be done with this.
We were like, we got to send it out for Halloween.
Yeah.
And we got back, and she was super busy with the show, so I ended up doing some rewrite passes on it, which my writing process is a pot of coffee and listening to the Social Network soundtrack on repeat.
Really?
That is, like,
no
the
matter,
only thing he wants to listen
weird.
To ever. I'm like, can you just change it, please?
I've tried other soundtracks.
You can't.
I can't.
You figured out what works.
Because what it is if it can make Jesse Eisenberg writing code for Facebook interesting, it makes me focus and just, I just, I'm like a machine, and I go, and then, you know, it's really probably unhealthy, the amount of coffee and lack of food that I have during the process.
Yes, he forgets to eat when he writes.
I don't function as a human being. I just am like, honey, I wrote 30 pages today. And she's like, that's good, but have you used the restroom or eaten food or taken our dog out?
No.
One of those three was accomplished. I don't remember which.
I also started the Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
But back to the question at hand is basically we just put it out there that we were like, okay, let's get this done.
Yeah.
And it was just Ben posted. And
yeah, I happened to post on Facebook.
He likes to be accountable for things. And that's how we both are. We're Capricorn. So we're like, okay, we did this. Check that off the list.
So I posted not to in a bragging way at all. It was just to be like, excited we finished the third draft of our horror comedy. And I just do that sometimes so that it makes people aware that I'm working on something.
Sure.
So that if somebody asks me, 6 months haven't gone by and I haven't done anything on it because now I'm accountable. And Andy, who ended up directing it, called me up and was like, what's the budget and what's the pitch? And I told him what it was and sent it to him that night.
And they said they may have an investor interested. And Andy is a friend of ours, but I also worked with them on a little indie.
Andy and Warner Warner produced it and Andy directed it.
On a little indie film called Awaken a few years ago. And then we brought them back to help us with a web series that I had written called Cluedless. And Andy directed a couple of those episodes. So we've always stayed in touch with them. And, you know, they're very young and, like, hungry like we are. Only they're on the producing side. We're on the acting side. And writing side. So when Ben posted that, they were just like, well, what do you have? Send it to us. And so we sent it.
And it was optioned by Thanksgiving, sold by January. We were in pre-production, and then shooting March 25th to April 19th.
And we flew to Ohio to do it. So it wasn't one of those things where it's like, hey, let's go make a movie tomorrow. No. You know, no, we have to fly to Ohio.
Middletown.
Pack a bag for 5 weeks.
Lovely people there. Nothing to do there. Our hotel was in a Walmart parking lot, and there was an Applebee's and a Cracker Barrel.
But we had Misty.
It was fantastic.
What more could you want?
Misty was great. Misty was one of the hotel lobby people. She was
awesome. She did everything for us.
She
started to resent us, though. She was just like...
No, not at all. Misty loved us.
She would
get us food all the time.
I don't know. Some of the things that the guys made her do, though.
That sounds weird.
Okay,
out of context.
I didn't mean it in that way.
Out of context. That sounds...
Truth bomb.
I meant it like running errands. Like that she became like an assistant
for
them.
Hey, can you go buy beer at Walmart?
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Yeah, it was a blast. It was so much fun.
But yeah, that's kind of how we got this film made. It was one of those things. But Ben and I also, like I said, we've collaborated mm-hmm. since we've been together. And we...
Almost
just,
9 years
no
now.
No matter what. I mean, especially once you have a wedding, you're like, oh, wow, that's yeah. a lot of money. We've, yeah. Okay, if we can produce a wedding during one of the most stressful times of your life... Then we can produce a film.
Yeah,
I think we can handle yeah. it. So yeah. it's one of those things where even if this didn't transpire, I know that we would have something would have yeah. happened because we're very much like, all right, take the bull by its horns and let's make something happen.
Yeah.
I like that.
And that's what you have to do. If you want to have a career, you have to make it for yourself.
And I think yeah. that we got this deal with AMC Independent because they liked the movie a lot and they wanted to put it out in theaters. And so we got 20 theaters nationwide. And we're doing some deal. There's deals happening, but they haven't really told us
because
it's all secret.
Being that we wrote it and acted, we don't have the rights to know exactly what.
Well, it's not that we don't have the rights to know. We're just going on a lot of shows and I may accidentally say it. It's probably what it is.
No. We're not allowed to find all of the details, basically. They've been very nice to us since we are friends, yeah. and they've told us things, but that's not in the contract. They don't yeah. have right. to tell us those right. things. They're yeah. just saying, hey, guess what? This is what's going on.
They've been
on.
Very inclusive.
Yeah.
It's been
but,
cool.
yeah, so we're, you know, there's specifics that I'm sure we haven't really heard yet.
But soon, there shall be some Blu-ray and DVD release info.
I love hearing the bull by the horns thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that's... Like, a lot of people don't see that process on screen. That's exactly what it takes, I feel, to make a successful project. And I also love that you sent it to somebody you worked with before, you yeah. enjoyed working with.
Yeah. And that's what it's about in this industry, yeah. especially, is, like, keeping in good contact and relationships yeah. with people. Right. You never know the person that you met 6 years ago that was a PA that could now be a producer.
Every job,
you have no idea.
Every job I've ever booked that's been... awesome has been from some random connection years prior. Mm-hmm. I did this stint on ABC for ABC.comedy. I did like a year on there. And it was because my buddy Ricardo Martinez, who's a producer over there, did stand-up with me years ago. And
yeah.
now I'm on Guilty Movie Pleasures here on Popcorn Talk because Josh McCuga and I did stand-up years ago. And
right.
it's just random how you... It goes two ways.
The longer
you're here, the more network you have. But also just to remember to be a good person to people and mm-hmm. not burn any bridges and just... You never know. And I think that for us, it was that we both booked things like commercials and little guest stars here and there, or co-stars. And we were getting jobs and paying the bills, but never...
But it's like one day of work, yeah. and then you leave, and you're like, oh, yeah, I want to be what that person's yeah,
right.
doing, where they get to and go every
get to
day
do,
and
right.
have a character.
It's not as fulfilling creatively.
You're just helping get the story. Yeah,
yeah,
you're getting the story, helping it move along, but
so we wrote
nothing.
Something that was, you know, that we would want to play in, that we would want to... go for 20 days and shoot, and it was a blast.
We wanted
it
longer.
A dream come true.
We were like, what? 20 days?
I wanted 30 days.
Come on. Let's go.
But the budget would not allow it.
Next time, Hawaii.
Was it Middletown, Ohio?
Middletown, Ohio, which is literally middle of nowhere.
Say there's somebody, you know, 18-year-old kid mm-hmm. in Middletown, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do what you guys are doing. Can he do it there? How does he do it there?
I don't know if you could do it. There's a crew in Ohio and everything.
There are crews.
Yeah.
Ohio has a big film commission going on right now. Mm-hmm. And
they're tax
no matter where you're at, you can make something happen. You don't have to be in Hollywood. If you believe in yourself and have an idea, ideas can turn into anything. And so as long as you think you... I mean, if you have a story, develop that story.
Yeah.
Work on that story. And then once that story is... fulfilled and it's on a page, then go to the next step. The thing is that I think people jump ahead.
Yep.
You know, they're like,
before they
I have
flush,
this idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I need someone and I need this person. It's like, wait, you got to do all these other little steps before you can go.
Well, and also you have to get the right people who can fill the gaps that you can't do.
Right.
Renee and I are actors and writers, but we're not necessarily directors. We're not necessarily any of that other stuff. So we needed people to fill in the gaps. And just like, even Andy, when he first came on, he's like, I'm more of a comedy guy. I need somebody to fill in the gaps for the gore and the horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Robert Kurtzman on board, who's a special effects makeup guru, who's mm-hmm. like one of the best.
Been around forever. And he's in Ohio.
He designed the original Freddy Krueger mask, and he did From Dusk Till Dawn, all this crazy stuff. He's amazing. And so when he jumped on board, we're like, the gore is handled. It's going to be awesome. And that's some of my favorite stuff about the movie, is how great the gore looks, because House Becky and Barry, who were the Robert Kurtzman's creature corpse that was on the ground, you know, they design it in his studio or whatever, and then bring it on the ground. to the set, and man, the stuff they would do in such limited time looks awesome. Mm-hmm. They had so little time, and they were just coming up with the craziest things, and every gag looks great, and we're so pumped.
I always
so
wanted more blood. I was like, more blood! Oh, and then once you add the blood on, you're like, oh, it's down. Really sticky. That was a terrible idea.
They were like, you want more
that?
Blood? You got it.
Yeah. They loved every take, so just splash it on.
I'm wondering if you guys don't mind speaking to your process together as writers.
Yeah.
Is there tension there sometimes because you are together? Is it something that drives you guys crazy? Do you love doing it?
It's
what
a little
are the
bit
positives
of both.
And negatives?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think this was a learning lesson for us because we'd never really written a feature together before.
Yeah.
And so this
it's all
one,
been short story stuff.
This one we outlined the entire story together,
mm-hmm.
and then she was busy doing a show that she was working on. She does a live murder mystery show in Hollywood.
So I was
Hollywood.
Working. I was writing that with my other co-writer.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things where we had the story developed, the characters completely developed, and then Ben would take the story and he'd go and lock himself away for about 8 hours.
I had nothing going on at the time, so I was like, "Well, while you're doing that because you're busy, I'm going to just write for 8 hours today and see what happens." And then so. But what we learned is then she would give me notes and we were very on the same page about guiding the story the whole time. But for the next projects we work on, we're going to try a different way where I write a couple scenes, she writes a couple scenes, and we trade and then rewrite each other's scenes. And I think that'll be cool. I'm excited about that, so that it's even more. It's even more of a team effort than just me going, I did this here, read it. And you're like, what? How did you finish that already? I'm like, sorry, I had nothing going on today.
And I was like, oh, glad I could help with that scene. Awesome.
So I got a little control freaky on this one. I was like, I'm just going to, don't worry, I took care of it, you know, but I've learned from that. And it's something where like, Renee's writing a romantic comedy right now that she wrote completely on her own.
Well, with things that we write, we also give each other a lot of notes. And so, like, with the feature film that I have that I just wrote, it's like Ben will come in.
I gave
in
her
and
a mind melting.
It's like red, and I'm like sitting there reading, like, oh my god,
I walked in when she was when she was rewriting, and she's like, what? Now it's like 110 pages.
Yeah, it was like, it went from like a 90 page to like 120.
I'm supposed to cut down.
Now you're making me add more.
Don't worry.
I think everything is different. It depends on what you're working on and where you're at during the time of year that you're writing. So as long as you have open communication, I think that's what we did not have.
Yeah, the first time I just kind of locked myself in.
He was just
like,
okay, I'm going to go write. I'm like, wait,
here's 60 pages. What? I thought you were going to do like 10.
What happened?
Yeah.
The social network. I just...
Right? It just
I'm sorry.
Going.
I'm sorry. But, you know, we look at ourselves as a creative team more than anything. Because the second you say writing duo in Hollywood, they go, oh, that's all you are. You can just write together and nothing else. But we're a creative team where...
We're creating things. We're producing things. Yeah. We're not always in certain
things
writing,
together. She's writing two scripts right now, the romantic comedy and then a kind of cool female-driven thriller. I have two horror comedies and an action comedy that I've written separately. But we always give each other notes. We're always very supportive. So we look at ourselves as a creative team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we dabble together writing, and then we split off because it's just easier that way to not get pigeonholed. Because Hollywood likes to just think of things in one way.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are the Coen brothers. That's it. Not that we're the Coen brothers.
I mean,
any means.
And everybody talks exactly like that.
Right, yeah.
You did a good job,
man.
You got moxie, kid.
You did good, kid.
That was the smallest cigar ever.
It was a joint.
Moxie.
Smoking a doobie.
That is
true. We are a creative team, and that's like we did a sketch comedy way back when. That's where we first started.
Dingus Khan.
We had sketch comedians, and we
Jesse McIndoche and Andrea Hopkins.
Hey.
Shout out to them.
Hi-yo.
Hey, and we did live shows with them. We would do, and it would be like a variety act. So we invited stand up comedians and musicians, and so we started there because Ben and I are just artists, which is kind of cheesy to say, but we're just totally artists.
We
just want to create art.
We're just real bohemian. And that's when all of the people stop chatting.
Yeah,
right
like, and we're getting off.
Fuck
off,
these pretentious guys.
But it's true. Like, we're kind of artsy, and it's fun to be around people that just want to create. And so that's what we try to surround ourselves with, are people that just want to do things.
We never wanted to be those.
I think that's great.
We never wanted to be those actors that are like, we're not
waiting for that next big thing.
Why does my agent suck? And it's like, I'm not getting auditions. It's like, well, do something.
Yeah.
Like, fill your time with. You can get a DSLR for like $800 or whatever, or you have a friend that has one.
A phone!
iPhone, exactly.
There's a movie shot. Yeah, the movie that was shot on an iPhone 6 or whatever.
Make things.
Make something.
Do things.
Because I'll tell you what, the first couple gigs that I ever booked, were because of a sketch I had done where they were like, I saw that random sketch. And I was like, really? That wasn't even one of the funny ones. And they're like, no, I liked it. And so you got to just keep putting yourself out there. Because
I think that's great because I think 9 times out of 10, the case seems to be that it's the bits that people see of you mm-hmm. are the ones you didn't even think people would ever see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones that are insanely creative to begin with.
Yeah.
And there's something about, in my opinion, knowing that there's probably nobody watching that just like gives you all kinds
of freedom. Right?
Exactly.
And it's like, holy crap. That's where
it's
at.
True. Yeah. And the minute you have the eyes on you, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because then, and that's also where you grow as an artist in whatever field you're in. It's like, dance like no one's watching. You know, it's, if you're doing a sketch and you're like, I'll get maybe 500 views, who gives a shit? It's like, but if so you go out on a limb a little bit more. Some of our sketches are out there. Like, we have one called a Valentine's Day foot fetish.
The things we made our friends do,
hilarious.
Too. Because we had our friends over for dinner occasionally. They were our neighbors. And we'd be like, hey, guys,
you want to make a sketch? And they're not like, even actors. And we just dragged them into these sketches.
Amy and Azzy.
They're fantastic
friends. They moved away.
The premise of that one was these two couples were sitting at a table. And the two guys start playing footsie with what they think is their wives or girlfriends underneath the table. And it's their feet.
Oh, my God.
And
the feet get really romantic with each other.
Like, we have a candle that shows up underneath there, and the foot, like, delicately pulls the other sock off. So it becomes, like, an 80s cheesy sex scene.
That's amazing.
And then at the very end, they realize, and we do, like, a psycho 3-cut to... And then they're like, I don't want to spoil the reveal at the end, just in case.
Watch the foot fetish, guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, we just try to go out on a limb and have fun. There's a character I do called Stephen Mortimer I used to do, who was this conspiracy theorist who based his fear of 2012 and the apocalypse off of Roland Emmerich's film only and no actual Mayan relevance at all. And I used to go to comic book conventions and interview cosplayers like that. And I talked to Kevin Smith in front of 4,000 people at Hall H as Stephen Mortimer. I was like, how would you save us from the 2012 apocalypse, Kevin? And I was like, and will you be my friend? And he riffed with me, and it was a blast. But it was because I didn't care, because I was like, no one's watching this.
Yeah.
And then this audition I had yesterday, they were like, do you do an apocalypse character? And I was like, how have you seen that?
Someone does watch this.
How did you see that? Mm-hmm. Anyways.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. So this obviously
we ramble a lot.
Yeah,
I love it though. No, it's fascinating. I love that's a story I like to hear, you know.
Our conversations when you come over our house are 5 hours long. You could ask our friends, they'll come over and we're like, why do we need to watch a movie? Let's just talk.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a tiny cigar.
Yeah.
Always.
And here she.
Welcome to the house. Foot fetish time. Give me your guys' favorite slash movie.
Everybody keeps
favorite
asking
slash.
I have mine.
I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times, but I
have
to
mine.
Know.
Do you want me to go so you can build up to it? I have two.
Yeah.
Technically three.
Okay, he's going to give you
three?
Five.
Three. You're going to give me like an IMDb top 200 list.
My three favorite slasher films for different reasons.
Okay.
Halloween, because Michael Myers still to this day scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first ones I saw that genuinely terrified
me. And at
me.
Universal Horror Nights, that was a great
maze.
Did you go
yes,
through that one?
Yes,
oh, keep thinking of your slashers. I'm going to go down my list of three. So then Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Because Freddy Krueger is
like
awesome.
Mine.
And you can see it too. It's super funny and the kills are really imaginative and cool in those. I'll never forget the puppet vein marionette one in the third
I
one.
I hated that.
And then Scream, because Scream was actually the first scary movie I ever watched. I was a scaredy cat as a kid. I never watched scary movies. I was freaked out by them. When Scream came out, there was all that rumor that people were like vomiting in the theater and running out like Texas Chainsaw Massacre style, you know? And I watched it in broad daylight with like 8 of my friends, and still that opening 15 minutes scared the pants off of me. I was like, holy shit, this is terrifying. And then the rest of the movie, I realized I could laugh and be scared at the same time. And I really feel like that kind of shaped my idea of horror films. And that's what I've always kind of gravitated towards. And that's what the Funhouse to us is.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that energy, the scared, and you want to laugh,
yes.
and you're like,
because, yes.
It's because kind of a nervous thing.
Somebody said it recently, I forget, one of our friends was saying that being scared and laughing are almost the same thing, because you laugh because you're surprised,
I'm
and
say
you
it was
jump.
Alex Bedria.
I think it was Alex Bedria, our friend Alex. Shout out to all our friends
always,
tonight.
All friends.
All our friends giving you shouts out here on I Talk Movies with. Is it I Talk Movies with, or just shout out our friends night? It's like a rap song. It's like the end of a rap song. Alex Bedria, where you at?
Hey.
Corey Ula. We just keep shouting out. Anyways.
Okay.
But yeah, the idea that you get scared because you're surprised, and you laugh because you're surprised by the joke. So it's a fine line between the two, and that's why it works well in horror films.
Yes.
But you're three. You're top one.
No,
now.
He said
top
one. He said one.
I know.
Okay, but this is really a slasher, everything. But if we're going to go like
your
way
favorite
back,
horror film, yeah, go, yeah.
It would be Poltergeist. That was definitely, like, growing up, that movie terrified me, but there also are moments where you're kind of like, oh my God, is this for real happening in this film? You know, so.
And it's got Grandpa Braverman from. It's got Grandpa Braverman from
Hello
Parenthood.
Him.
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson's in it. I don't know. That just, I grew up watching that movie. One of my best friends in Ohio, Avon Lakes, where I am from.
Shout out to Megan Gamina.
Her and I grew up watching horror films. It was a really weird thing because as a little girl, like around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Well, Megan's a year younger, so I was about 8. She's about 7. We'd go over to her dad's house. Her parents were divorced, and he would let us watch any movie we wanted. And we'd always end up watching horror.
Way to throw him under the bus.
Frank Gamina.
Yeah, what if he's listening right now?
Frank from Ohio.
That was Frank Gamina from Avon Lake, Ohio.
Give me shout outs. But yeah, so we grew up watching all the different horror films. And I think for slasher, though, I would have to say.
Yeah, talking to the mic.
I'm sorry. I would have to. I would say.
It doesn't really matter. It's fine.
I'm going to answer this question over here.
Michael Myers is pretty terrifying. And I love the slow, creepy walk.
Yeah.
The slow, creepy walk
Because he is relentless.
That was definitely, growing up, Poltergeist, and we would watch a lot of Halloween movies. So.
I watched one when I was 5, I saw Gremlins.
Gremlins is scary.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, you know.
It's dark for, it they don't
dark.
Make kids movies like that. I'm not the Gremlins is a kids movie. But
it looks like one on the cover.
So we all watched it. Yeah.
It was one of those moments where my parents got it. You know, we're sitting down, they turn it on in like a couple minutes, and they go, oh, God.
What's the scariest moment for you? Because I have mine. Do you remember?
I don't even know.
I remember specifically as a child when Phoebe Cates tells the story of her dad dressing up as Santa and sneaking down the chimney, and they didn't realize he was in there until they smelled the burning and the rotting of it because he had got stuck and they had lit him on fire. And I was like, that is so dark.
Yeah.
Because she's like, Christmas is a depressing time of year. There's more suicides than any other time of the year. And then she goes into that. And as a child, I'm like, I don't ever want my dad to dress up as Santa. I hope Santa doesn't get, don't light the fire on Christmas Eve. It was dark.
That was like that creepy. And that woman on the. What was this Christmas one that we watched? The Tales from the Crypt, the Santa one?
Oh, the Santa Remember killer
that?
One?
That was a scary one.
What was it?
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt episode. I think Joe Dante directed that too, I think. Where there's a creepy Santa murderer going around, which to me was too realistic because that really happened.
Yeah,
no. You know, I guess but that was years before.
Happened 20
What's
years
this one that's coming out? It's Krampus or Krampus?
Krampus.
Which
Krampus.
Again, walking through Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah. There's a Krampus
section.
Creepy. Krampus is, I think, is about the evil Santa Claus that punishes the bad. If you're on the naughty list, Krampus comes for you.
Yeah.
It's a European legend. It's about Krampusnacht. It's the opposite of Santa.
Oh.
Mark, coming in with, saving me with the fact checking.
Fact check from Mark. He writes.
Shout out to Mark in the booth with the fact check.
Fact checker.
One of my all-time favorites is the Birds.
I've never seen The Birds. Don't
I can't,
it teeters the line of like it's
The Birds is
unbelievable. No, wait, did you say The Birds or The Burbs?
The Birds
with
with
Hitchcock.
The D. Oh, I thought you said The Burbs.
The Burbs,
and I was like, oh my gosh,
with Courtney Gaines,
But
The Birds, when did you see The Birds as a kid?
Yeah, as a kid,
and it freaked you out.
It did.
I don't think I saw The Birds. Actually,
there's one part in particular where there's a woman on the ground, facing the ground, and there's a bird just like. Yep. On her neck, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is terrifying, because it teeters the line of, this is not believable. But then you walk down the park, and you see that pigeon looking at you
you're
the
like,
way.
It's going to happen.
You see,
like, I'm going to get attacked. It's going to happen.
I get creeped out whenever I see a gaggle of crows around. Crows always freak out. Is gaggle the proper word?
I think
word
so.
Birds?
Sure.
Mark,
murder.
You got to...
What's that?
It's literally called a murder of crows.
No, it's
a
not.
Murder of
a
crows.
Murder of crows.
A murder
exactly.
of crows.
Exactly. That's what makes it even creepier. That it would be called... A group of crows is called a murder of crows. Crows are just... They're just... Because they have such a, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, it has such it feels so gothic
it's very,
and weird.
Yeah, very dark.
They're creepy-ass birds.
They are.
I don't like them.
Get them out of here.
I think, I'm not really that scared of birds, I'm not gonna, I mean, but I also didn't see the movie, so it probably would.
I mean, I'm not afraid of birds, guys. I'm not afraid of birds or anything, just crows.
I think you are.
Just crows.
I think you're admitting
it. The difference. puts on the headphones, listens to Social Network, plug back in. That is a fantastic soundtrack. Well, anyway, so thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
This has been a lot of fun. I could talk to you guys forever. Again, the movie is The Funhouse Massacre. Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah,
the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
What are you going to do on Friday the 13th? You're going to see our movie.
That's I'm going to go see this tomorrow at Universal City Hall.
Come on by.
Yeah, we'll be there.
The AMC.
7:15 showing.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks so much.
Why don't you
tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you go ahead.
At Renee Dorian on all the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook things.
The tweeties.
The tweety thingies.
The MySpace.
MySpace, guys. I'm on a MySpace. Yeah, you know, at Renee Dorian. That's how you can find me.
I'm at the Ben Begley. And also, our movie is at Funhouse Mass, which sounds like it's just a carnival church. But no, it's Twitter has a character limit. So it's at Funhouse Mass. And the website is funhousemassacremovie.com. Where you can check your local listings. It's in 20 theaters nationwide in select AMCs. And if you go, it'll just keep catching fire. So if you like it, tweet hashtag Funhouse Massacre.
Share it with everyone. And yeah, do a Twitter so we can actually see it after you see it.
Send us a selfie. If you see it, send us a selfie of your feelings
of it.
Do your normal face. Don't do the face been pulled off selfie.
If any of you can rip your face off, don't do that.
Don't take a selfie.
No, please, no one rip your face off for a selfie.
Don't do anything that is happening in this movie.
As impressive as
even though it's about violence,
we do not condone it.
All right, everybody. I am Cameron Lewis. Thanks so much for joining us at The Only Cam Show, Twitter and Instagram. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.